I'm Phil Pringle, and welcome to the C3 Church Global Podcast. Thanks for joining us today from wherever you are in the world. C3 Church Global is a family of almost 600 churches around the world, and this podcast is all about equipping pastors and leaders to lead healthy, growing, and multiplying churches. We are Christ-centered, Spirit-powered, and Connect-driven. Every week on this podcast, you will find new and uplifting content to strengthen you, equip you, and help you lead others into a relationship with Christ. You'll find a mix of devotionals that build your faith and your relationship with Christ, as well as rich and empowering conversations with leaders and friends in ministry from around the world. We also bring inspiring testimonies and updates from our pastors and churches throughout the C3 movement on the 64 nations that we're present in. Here's this week's podcast. Hey everybody, welcome to C3 Church Global Podcast, where we're talking everything local church and leadership. And we have two of our finest ministers around the world with us today, Pastor Alex Lee and Pastor Mattis Thielmann from Germany. Great to have you with us, guys.
Great to be here.
Thank you to be here.
Last year, you guys had exceptional Easter services in terms of outcomes and results. And I guess for us in C3, the highest value that we would have as an outcome would be the salvation of lost people. And certainly it's God's first priority. And I mean, whatever is second, there's a lot of daylight between that first one and the second one. Mm-hmm. And both of you had like hundreds of people coming to Christ in your services over the weekend. So I want us to talk about that and help every church, large and small, mid-size, old, young, to actually make their Easter super effective at bringing people to Jesus. So Mattis, can you start us up by telling us what you did?
Yes, love that. We had the idea of trying to make something different as Easter as you usually would do. So we came up with the idea to try to do a conference as the church over the Easter weekend. So we had a worship night on Good Friday. We had a day conference on the Saturday, and then we had a huge Easter Sunday service. Because we had the conference, we had a large venue, and we try to think that it could work because people are at home on Easter weekends. And we were surprised by the outcome, just for the conference, just people turning up. And we had a fantastic number. So we had a Good Friday worship night. We didn't know how many people to expect. And it was around 1,500, 2,000 people coming. Just out of nothing. And it was amazing was a lot of other churches joining us, coming and getting together. And then on Easter Sunday, we had this people invited as many as possible. So we had a packed room with not enough seats, probably around 1,500 people. And we did a water baptism on Easter Sunday as well. And we baptized around over 60 people spontaneously. Huh. People just came to the water tap and got baptized. And we saw hundreds of people getting saved. And the main focus was Easter and revival. So we talked about revival in the region on the conference. And we talked about Jesus Christ dying for us on the cross on Easter on Easter Sunday. So we were blown away how easy it was and how easy it was to people to invite friends and family, because it wasn't just Easter, it was a larger thing. So people invited them to, hey, there is a large thing in my church, come along. And for us, it worked fantastic.
Did you have a budget of like money and volunteers as you approach that, as to how many volunteers you'd need and how much money you would need?
Yes, when we started planning for the conference, we set up a budget, and then we realized that we want to dream for more, so we got the budget higher and higher. We try to get as much as possible back with the ticketing. So the conference has a ticketing, but we couldn't get all back. But in the end, we decided to have this as a large investment from our church. So we were willing to pay big money to host that thing because we wanted to really see people getting saved. And because of that, we had a lot of volunteers signing up. So we asked people on the ticketing, we had a volunteer ticketing, and we asked our whole church for Easter Sunday, every Connect Group leader, every Connect Group, we asked them, please serve on that weekend. Please be part of the team because we don't want to host an event for us as a church. We want to host this event for the city to reach, for people around us to reach. And our church was so generous with their giving and so generous with their serving. And we actually had more volunteers in the end as we needed. So that was a really good outcome. And for us, it was really important to make it a great experience for the church. So we decided that we not just want to hit the goal, but we want to think about how we come to the goal. And in the end, our volunteers, our production guys, everyone was kind of like, oh, we could have done two more days of conference. And that was the goal we wanted to have, to not just get through it, but to have this feeling of, oh yeah, we made it so well, we could have done one more day. And that was a high value we had in that thing.
Amazing. Yeah, wonderful. So Pastor Alex Lee, leading C3SYD, once upon a time, I was leading that church and we'd founded it in 1980. But Pastor Alex here, Alex Lee, took over 3 years ago now. Is it three? Or four.
Yeah, it's about four. It's nearly four.
Yeah.
Or it is
amazing.
Four.
Time flies. And you're doing such a great job. Such a great job. You and Jess, and to see growth increase. The church is so healthy and so many new people. And your Easter was as well. It was incredible with hundreds, well over 100 people. Turning to Jesus, I think you told me it was about 163 or something, and a lot of baptisms. What did you do to make that all happen?
Great question. Look, I mean, I think if you're preparing for Easter when Easter's coming, it's almost too late. So I do think something that has worked for us is working way in advance on some of the key things that are going to really move us to a place where we have a whole church that's ready for Easter. I love what Mattis was saying, that there's just some intentionality way in advance to make sure as a church we are ready for Easter. Something I think we worked on that actually honestly I've worked on is my own evangelism. My personal witnessing culture. I remember like beginning of the year really, really feeling stirred by God to go hard and go harder in my own life. So I have had a little personal revival really where I've been witnessing to my neighbors and been reaching people for Christ myself. And the beautiful thing about that is then being able to share those stories. So with any time I'm in front of people, I've been able to share some of the things that have been happening, and not just successes, but activity. Mm. So I think sometimes people get fearful about witnessing because there's this pressure that I've got to succeed every time. But actually, I think if we can teach our church, hey, success is not that the person necessarily said yes there and then. Success is you stepping out and reaching out to people and getting active in the harvest. We want a church that is mobilized to reach the harvest, not just one or two. Mm. We want a church that's engaged. And I do think something that is I felt really stirred on is doing that myself. And so I think that has helped. And then our leaders around us, so the layers of leaders around us doing the same, sharing stories of reaching out to people. And then Pastor Phil, I learned this from you. Just pray, man. Just get everybody praying. Get people in the prayer meeting. Get the church vocal on a Sunday praying. In connect groups, get people praying. I just had my connect group today. Every connect group, we go around the circle. We all pray for one person we're believing for to come to Christ. Get everybody praying for the lost, and you know, then put a conference on Easter weekend. It'd be awesome.
Sounds amazing.
But just intentionality. Okay.
So it's always great to have a big day because everybody gets engaged and they can step up their level of serving. And some people who haven't served before, they find an opportunity on a big day, a big event, a big weekend. So you see a lot of people come to Christ. Then the work begins, saying, yeah, we saw whatever, you know, 100 or 200 people come to Christ. How many of them are still there 6 months later is obviously the thing that really counts. So in terms of the follow-up procedure, what did you have in place, Mattis?
On the baptism, so first, the first group we wanted to have really strong follow-up, obviously, is everyone who's got baptized, especially those who were very spontaneous. So we had people, we had miracle stories. There was one person, he came to me after the water baptism, and he was just sharing how he ended up on church on that Sunday, that he woke up and a voice told him to go to that place on that morning. So, and he stood there and said, I think Jesus asked me to come to your church. So we have this joke now that we say, oh, you know, it's a revival when Jesus invites to your service. So we had everyone who's got baptized, we had a follow-up procedure where we collected their details and their phone numbers. And we actually went through that. We ring and called each and every one of them to invite them to church, to get them into connect groups, to see them coming. The same thing with all the people that got saved. There was a lot of people, so we couldn't collect their names or their numbers. But what we tried to do is like to be very emphasizing on getting people into groups. So that was the biggest part for us, to getting people into our home groups, our connect groups, so they are part of a group. So on the Easter weekend, we had, when you got saved, you could walk out, and we had a home spot, we call it. We have a little box which says on it, oh, you decided to follow Jesus. In that is a Bible. We create a little booklet where we explained, okay, this is who we are, this is what you believe now, this is a Bible reading plan, this is your next step, this is how you can connect with us. So we give people something in their hands they can take with them and can go through a couple of days later and get connected with us. But we try, when people come to that point, to collect their box, to get them into a conversation, to get them in, to get them already settled with us. So they go not home and decide now they want to be part of the church, but they go home with like, oh, I met a few people. I already invited to this connect group on Wednesday evening. I'm already have a next step ahead. That's what we try to do. And our connect group doubled. The amount of connect groups we have, we doubled since Easter. So because so many people came in the connect groups.
Amazing. Yeah, it's so important to have everybody in the church involved in accepting, extending hospitality, and joining with newcomers, not just the professional staff or the recognized pastors, but if the whole body is mobilized, I think that really makes an enormous difference. So, Al, you had a very unique system in following up. Tell us about that.
And we trialed text Jesus. And so we had a phone number on the screen. We didn't actually do this at Easter. We just did this at our conference weekend. We had another about 100 people come to Christ over the weekend. And we had a text message system that we hadn't done before. and it was awesome. We are still working it out, but I actually saw Trent Membrane do this, and he did this on conference weekend, and so I've actually copied his altar call. So often we say, you know, bow your head, close your eyes. And so something that's been amazing is actually saying, hey, keep your eyes open. Don't bow your head. Right. Look at me. If you're here today and you can look me in the eye and say you're right with God, you are in relationship with God, Jesus is your Lord and Savior, don't put up your hand. But if you're here today and you know in your heart you're not right with God, I want you to raise your hand. And I mean, just hands. But then the key was from there to say, okay, what we're going to do is we're going to lead you in a prayer. But before we pray, I want you to get out your phone. And actually, Pastor Bill, it's amazing to me, these little details, because this was actually really important. If you ask them to text after, you've kind of lost the momentum. Right. It's kind of a lost moment. But the key was asking them to text while we're still holding the room in the moment. Text is the number. Read out the number at least 3 times. Then say, awesome, now we're going to pray.
Wow. And
we've been doing this thing. You said Trent basically would get only the people who put their hand up to say the prayer.
Right.
So only the people that responded said the prayer. Everyone else was quiet. We can hear the people saying the prayer. People are weeping as they're saying the prayer.
Amazing.
And so the whole church is like, oh, my gosh. And then I go hey, when someone comes to Christ, heaven's not like, cool, you know, like, nice. Heaven's like, wow. So I say, as soon as all our friends finish praying, everybody here, we're going to erupt. And
it's amazing.
Yeah, that just that. But honestly, the detail of text then praying, super critical.
I've been in services where you've done that, and it is amazing when you hear people praying and crying as they pray in the congregation, because not everybody's praying. Some of this becomes a little challenging, scaling it into a smaller church, say a church of 50 people, 100 people meeting over the weekend. How do either of you think they should approach some of these areas that you're talking about?
My follow-up just on the text thing, that was born out of necessity. So it was born out of trying to capture everybody when there's that many hands in a room. So you may not, I think the system should match the context.
Yeah. Right.
I think you can over-systemize. So you can be using a system. If you've got 2 people responding, you don't need the same system. The system should serve the size. And so I think I would say to someone in context, actually what you need is to go after those 2 souls and then have incredible team trained who are on it straight away.
Right. What's your thoughts, Mattis?
We tried over the last few years to emphasize Easter even larger than Christmas, to give it a idea of, hey, this is one of the most special weekends or the most special weekend of the year. And to I think it, no matter what size it is, to think about what could we do special for Easter. It could be a great worship night on a Good Friday where you invite other churches. What we've done on the Easter conference, like it was just a conference setting, but we invited all other pastors from around this area to have a moment of prayer with us where we pray for revival. And around 100 pastors came, we did this. You don't have to be a conference to set up a moment in your city and just like, hey, we do an Easter worship night, or we do something, we do a Saturday morning prayer because nobody does something on Saturday morning. And you invite other pastors, other churches to pray for the harvest of your city. Because what happens is that people see the churches united in that one fact that we want to see people getting saved. And that does something with your church. And that does, and it doesn't matter if there's only one other pastor or other church coming, but to connect yourself with the city to pray for a harvest makes such a difference.
So getting back to you, Alex, we got to just talking about the moment where people ask Jesus into their life. But in terms of after Sunday, the assimilation process, how's that been for you?
Great. And super frustrating, and great, and super frustrating. The retention, like you said before, Pastor Phil, that's actually where the real work begins.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's really important that you have the full picture. So we've got a lead up to Easter. We've got Easter, and then we've got the follow-on from Easter. That's all Easter.
Yeah.
So Easter's not just that Sunday. Easter's the lead-up. It's the Sunday. It's the follow-on after. So I think, obviously you need a process or a system, or just the point is you've got to be intentional. But there's not one right process. There's not one right system. But the point is that you are being intentional, and then you gotta work your butt off. You just gotta work your butt off, and you're gonna get some disappointments. But the resilience in the team. So one of the things I've been trying to work on with our team is the boldness and the resilience to. I've heard this said: make them say no. Make them say no. Sometimes people are so tentative about the ask or the next thing. Hey, your next thing is to get water baptized. Your next thing is to come to my connect group. Your next thing is this. Make them say no. And then how well can you cope? Because we need resilient workers for the harvest.
Good.
And if you get a no, don't flip them. Have a pity party about it, either circle back again and let's go again, or trust God and let's go to the next person. But I really think teaching resilience in our team, boldness, to have courage to ask people to consecrate and not apologize. I think we need to kill the apologetic, timid ask. Why would we be apologizing? What on earth do we have to apologize for? We're helping these people become disciples of Christ. It's the best that ever happened in their life. Yeah. And so I think that's some cultural work we've done. And then, we've just worked hard on our system. So you're similar to what Mattis was saying. You fill in a card, you text Jesus, you get sent things straight away, the timeliness of it. When they get a call, being clear, here's the next thing. Don't give them nine options.
Mm-hmm.
Don't give them nine options. Say, here's the next thing. Yeah. And I think that people follow clarity like that. So we've worked on the culture of boldness and then just really refining our system. But it's an encouraging and frustrating journey.
Yeah, I'll say. Sean White, who leads the mighty C3 Hobart Church, him and his wife, Morella. I've talked to him about this because one year I said to him, how many people have come to Christ this year? And I think he said something like 72. I said, that's a little light for a church your size. And he said, Pastor, that's not the question to ask me. Ask me how many are actually in the church. I said, well, how many are in the church? He said, 71. I said, oh, okay, now we're talking. Because I've seen 1,000 people come to Christ over a weekend in a church event, and one continue on just one, you know, because the whole event was pitched so differently. Anyway, his point was, I need to mobilize my entire congregation so that every individual, maybe not a, they're not a, an evangelist, but they are prepared to walk the journey with a new member who's come to Christ. I thought that's such a great phrase, and it's such a good commitment for every, because everybody in church can do that. Not everybody is feeling comfortable about evangelizing, but at least saying, hey, can I have a cup of coffee with you? Just, or can I come around to your house? Or do you want to come around our house for a barbecue? We got a few of us in our connect group going down the beach for a swim at 5 o'clock. Come on, come and join us. And whatever, just walking the journey to create an emotional bond. I think that's part of the job. I think the work of the ministry is making friends. And I think one thing that, I mean, you mentioned resilience, Pastor Al. I think patience is huge as well, because people have got no idea about church, about the Bible, about what's right, what's wrong. And if you start saying, oh, you can't do that anymore, that's completely wrong. I mean, leave all that to the Holy Spirit touching their conscience. Just love those people.
Yeah.
I remember the guy, when I first met the Lord, I went out the back and there was a guy who's talking to me, Jaap Schriek was his name, a Dutchman. And I said to him, yeah, what about all the Buddhists and all their, I mean, their gods have got to be for real. I mean, how can we be saying that this is the only God? And he said, well, let's just let the Lord talk to you about that as time passes. He didn't pick up the argument. And I thought, that's that kind of patience is very important, I think, with welcoming new members into the kingdom of God.
The thing of hospitality, Pastor Phil, I think is so, so important, because when you look at the life of Christ, that was his rhythm. I mean, he was constantly eating, ministering, and then eating. And I think if we can be really intentional about hospitality and
right.
In some cases need to recover that, I think if you're only thinking about the service and you haven't thought about the hospitality part on a Sunday as a place to start, I think that's a great place to start to build that culture in our church, in our churches.
Right.
Something we just started doing was timing the linger factor.
Yeah.
So actually in all our locations, how long are people lingering and what's the time and where is that strong? Where's that weak? I think I've heard you say this before. Churches grow in the 30 minutes after the service.
Right. And that's where growth happens. That's where the bonds are made around coffee, food, everything like that. So Matus, are the Germans in Leipzig friendly and hospitable?
Well, they seem cold.
I know you are
most of the time.
I know you are.
Well, it's not such a culture here, so we really had to build it. And I think what Pastor Al just said is, when you think about Easter, we always talk about the rhythm of the temple and the table. So we want to have Sunday's temple where people come, where you invite people, but we want everyone on tables during the week. So home groups and connect groups are probably the strongest link to grow your church, so especially after the event, because as you said, Al, like, we have hundreds of people raising their hand or texting Jesus, but then we need a lot of places. So we always tell our church that we don't do alpha courses or people that are new in church courses, because we want them to be in the table with other believers and to show them the way. So we always think about from the street to the seat, that's obvious, but then from the seat into the family. How do we get people from the seat into the family And the strongest part for that is to get them in connect groups. So no matter what size of church you are, build connect groups. And we had to build them from scratch. We had to invite people to our home and tell them, hey, look at this. We cooked you some nice food. We have some nice music on. Look, look, it's cleaned up. This is how you can do it. And then we sit together, we pray together, we talk. In Germany, you always have to try to not have a negative culture about connect group is where you are super whining and everybody shares how miserable their life is. And the next one is like, oh, my life is even worse. And then the next one, you know what I mean? So we had to teach them how to emphasize positivity, what is questions you're asking. And this is probably for us after Easter, the most important factor to have strong connect groups, home groups, where you can send people into, and to really train your people, like train them how to be nice to others, how to see others, how to welcome others, even after this half an hour, this important half an hour after the service. We always have to tell our team that they please don't linger together, that they please just see other people, just go out there, ask, talk to as many people as possible. And we challenge them on that. It's like, this is your job. And to get them, because the Germans are quite, and then we are off the hood. This is why we have welcome bags. We don't have like little plastic bags. We actually have like proper good bags people have, so we can see who's new after the church, who's new in church after the service. So we talk to them at least 10 times on that Sunday.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. So I know a lot, quite a few people who I have seen come and get grounded in church simply because I walked after them as the pastor as they walked to their car. As they were trying, because most newcomers leave early, leave pretty much straight away. So, and I would tell my congregation, look, if I walk straight past you, it's not because I'm ignoring you. Please don't be offended, but there's a new person that I want to meet. And I'm not going to be able to shake all of your hands. I'm not going to be able to say hello to everybody, but our team are going to be focused on connecting and joining newcomers into the house of God. I want to discuss just one last thing before we conclude. I was in a church recently, Andrew Corson's incredible Su Presencia church in Colombia, Bogota, and it's a fantastic church. It's around 160,000. One of the things they do is pretty much everybody, firstly, after they've gotten saved, is told to join a connect group and invited into that. But part of that process is having what they would call an encounter weekend or an encounter day where sins are surfaced and repented of, where demons are cast out and people's hearts are healed of wounds. Mm. And he has said that has helped him ground people in the kingdom, and they get free and they're so happy that they're healed and free. They bring others into that, to meeting Jesus and into that experience. And I think our churches would be well served in actually having something of that nature. Now, he does it every 2 weeks and he has about 3,000 people at each one. Because each week, 1,000 people are coming to Christ. It is astonishing. But to actually intentionalize the area of not giving the devil any opportunity to remain in a person's life, to repent and have forgiveness, and to be healed of emotional wounds, hurts mentally and emotionally. A lot of those things, if they're not dealt with, are like a handle on a person's back that the devil just pulls them straight back into the world. So I just think that churches everywhere would be well served to actually observe the healing of emotions, repentance from sin, and casting out of devils with brand new people. I mean, it seemed to me that they assumed everybody had a demon and that everybody needed healing and that everybody needed to repent from sin. And so the early church certainly had many exorcists on the ministry team. I think I read in one church there were like 60 exorcists, they called them, you know, people who were available to deliver people from demons. And I think we sometimes are wrestling with the flesh psychologically, but Paul says we're not wrestling with flesh, we're wrestling with spiritual principalities and powers to bring these people all the way into the kingdom of God.
Couldn't agree more, Pastor Phil.
Yeah.
The freedom, we have a thing called freedom ministry. I feel like
right.
We're just scratching the surface. I think we've had 72 people this year do freedom ministry.
Fantastic.
We're believing for 200 next year.
Come on.
Yeah.
And it's a part of our foundations class. But I think what we've done is we've done it like ad hoc as needed, but we're going to put it at the front end in the new year. We're going to put it at the front end for new believers. I
right.
couldn't agree more. I think if we can get it early
right.
in people's yeah. discipleship journey, honestly, the earlier the better. Because
earlier
cause
the
you
better.
Can find exactly you're wrestling. Yeah. You're not trying to like wrestle with these things that actually, they're actually simple, but for some reason, it's so complicated. And actually, it's because there's something else going on.
Right.
It's like the problem's a problem. You're trying to talk this person through a problem, but actually there's
yeah.
a spiritual stronghold
yeah.
in their life. And they need, that needs to be broken. That needs to
yeah.
be, we need to go after that.
Yeah.
And then put in the practices and make sure their life now is in a new rhythm. But I think I couldn't agree more. I would say
yeah.
I'm believing for churches everywhere leaning
awesome.
Into this more.
And I should have said also that the end, the final thing is that they are prayed for the baptism of the Holy Spirit and they receive that gift. So you might be delivered and healed, but to be filled with that power becomes super important.
Hey, I think also if you're a smaller church, what we do right now is we have a large emphasis on our weekly prayer meetings in all of our locations. And
right.
we try to have that deliverance, healing, and the filling of the Holy Spirit in every prayer meeting, a main part. So every prayer meeting, we have filled altars with people. We see demons delivered, we see people getting set free and people getting healed. And what we try to do is to teach our team very well as well, to teach
Fantastic.
Our leaders, our ministry team, how to deal with those things, how to pray for deliverance, how to do that and see people delivered. Because we were surprised after Easter on how often that happened. Because in Germany,
right.
usually stuff like this doesn't happen because we are clever people. We have signs. We are we're building cars. You understand? We don't have demons. But right now, I'm like, sometimes I'm afraid to go to my church because you never know where somebody is waiting for you. And you see some. But to and what we try to do is to normalize it as well, to speak more about it. Because sometimes we
yeah,
can
yeah.
be so quiet from the pulpit about
right.
it. So we try to talk about it and want to see people set free. But I think also, Pascal, what you said, this idea of having the freedom, what you call them, the course, and it's very clever.
Sensational.
Very good.
Well, everybody, this has been a fantastic discussion. Thanks, Al and Matt Mattis, for sharing your practices and your journeys with Easter. And everybody, we're wishing you a really wonderful Easter, more than anything, that you would take full advantage of the moment as pastors, as congregations, to bring people, not just invite them, but actually pick them up and bring them with you to the Good Friday morning service or the Sunday morning service and whatever other services you may have It is a special moment that we can see literally thousands and thousands of thousands of people in all of our nations receiving Jesus. God bless you. Thanks again, Alan Mattis. Look forward to talking again soon. Hey, thanks so much for joining us. If you're a pastor or a leader, we'd love to connect with you. Throughout the year, around the world, at our regional gatherings are a great opportunity for pastors to come and discover who we are as a movement. Or if you simply want to come and be refreshed and blessed, you're more than welcome. If you're interested, reach out at hello@c3churchglobal.com. That's hello@c3churchglobal.com. See you again soon.